Hari
Om. Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Saha Viryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So Bhaktisandarbha Adhyayana 1, Adhikarana 1, Description of the Bhakti Yoga Process, Anucheda 9, page 27. What is the use of involving oneself in karma? Tasmat ekena manasa bhagavan sattvatam patihi srotavya srotavya kirtitavyascha jaya pujascha nityada. Therefore, with mind dedicated only to bhakti, devoid of karma and jnana, one should constantly hear about, glorify, and meditate upon the Supreme Lord, the Master of the Devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.14. Right, so now this is the question that's going to come up, is that since the real thing is the bhakti, so then what is the use of involving oneself in karma? Right? Because that would be the natural thing, because we look at it, if I'm not getting a benefit, why am I doing it? Right? You know, that's always going to be. And we're also looking generally by practice at that, the prayas, not the shreyas, the immediate benefit. We're not looking at by giving up the karma, I mean by engaging the bhakti, then the long term, like this kind of thing, and then the karma. No, it's, I mean, I'm not getting benefit from it, I give it up. You know, just like I'm not getting benefit from it, so they go to jnana, for liberation. You know, is that, yeah. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. If realization of the absolute truth is the ultimate aim of life, it must be carried out by all means. It, right, because we're the soul, so it's important that always happens. You know, it's just like you must breathe at all means. You know, otherwise you don't live. So for the soul, without bhakti, there's no nourishment. Right? Because the soul is connected to Krishna. And so, therefore, things in context of Krishna, in that consciousness, then the soul actually gets nourishment. Because when Krishna is pleased, the soul will be pleased. Right? There's a direct connection. Like Prabhupada gives, the hand feeds the mouth, and then the hand gets the benefit of the eating. It can't eat directly. So the soul has to have that. It's not a question of not, or maybe, or later, or something. No, it's necessary. And so the soul is suffering because it's not involved in that. You know, from not being involved, they're suffering. They're looking for pleasure, but they're looking for somewhere else. You know, just like, let's say, the hand tries to eat the food. So now, the food didn't go to the stomach, the hand's not being nourished. So then the hand tries different things. Well, what happens if we put on a glove? And then, okay, the glove didn't work. You know, what if we put on a you know, glittery, you know, jewel glove? You know, I mean, it worked for Michael, right? You know, so why it wouldn't work for us, right? Problem is the one that ate it was the right hand, and I think he wore it on the left hand, but, you know, whatever, it doesn't, you know, these are details. And so that doesn't work. So, you know, what about, how about, you know, getting those...
Cut the hand open, maybe.
Yeah, you could do that, or get those, what are those funny little, those Chinese metal balls, balls,
yeah.
And you roll them together. Will this do it? You know, you get into something more esoteric, or... You know, or get out a book of the yellow pages. Maybe we need exercising, so, you know, let your fingers do the walking. Do they still have the yellow pages and do that?
I think they do, but they also just have yellowpages.com. So.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay, yeah, now it does. Well, still your finger has to do the scrolling.
Sure.
So then let your fingers do the scrolling for the yellow pages? Okay, yeah, it would work. Okay, the jingle works, you know, still 60 years, still going on, maybe more. Yeah, so, you know, you try different things. None of them will work. So that's what the soul is doing here. He's trying everything but Krishna Bhakti and thinking this will make me happy. When actually, no, as Prabhupada said here, it must be carried out, since if a realization of the absolute truth is the ultimate aim of life, it must be carried out by all means. So whatever you're doing, it must be in context of Krishna. It's not a choice. So when the acharyas are coming, they're presenting nicely. Krishna is also presenting because it's a matter of free will. But if you actually want to be happy and solve the problems of life, there's no choice. This is the only method. Pure bhakti is the only method. So then, you know, that's what's then being brought up here. So now, you know, so then, you know, then continuing with the question. In any one of the above mentioned castes and orders of life, strange, how Prabhupada always brings up this Varna ashram, you know? Strange. The four processes, namely glorifying, hearing, remembering, and worshipping, are general occupations. And so everybody does that, no matter what your position in Varna ashram. So that's the point. You can do these four at by all means and maintain your position.
Also, even if you say that you're at this, you don't do it glorifying for the Lord, you do it for somebody else.
That's true. Okay, so you're going to glorify someone else, hear about someone else, remember someone else, and worship someone else.
Fun stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So that means then Stardust magazine is the largest, religious scripture in the world. It's got the maximum amount of, no, it won't bite. Same with tick-ticky. They eat the bugs, so they're good. So you don't have to go. It won't bother you. It went. It left. It's looking for all the bugs that bother you. Yeah, so then it's the largest... Yes. Okay. Without these principles of life, no one can exist. Okay, so just everybody is using them, whether they're theistic or atheistic. Activities of the living being involve engagements in these four different principles of life. Especially in modern society, all activities are more or less dependent on hearing and glorifying. Any man from any social status becomes a well-known man in human society within a very short time. He is simply glorified truly or falsely in the daily newspapers. So even false, you know, that's what Prabhupada said. Devotees are really worried. You know, oh no, it's, you know, some bad article came out. Prabhupada said, good or bad, it doesn't matter. They're hearing about Krishna and they'll think about Krishna. You know, someone once mentioned that, I think I read that in the week after the 9/11, the maximum amount of books on Islam were purchased by people to find out who, you know, because they were claiming that Afghanistan or some, the Taliban, you know, blew up the buildings. So people want to know, who is this? So the maximum amount that ever happened, they bought. So this whole thing of, oh, it's bad publicity, no, people want to know. So if you have websites, you have things, you have stuff out there, then they'll immediately go and look it up. Who are these guys? So there's no such thing as, in that way, bad publicity. Okay. What's he checking? Or maybe he's checking for termites. Or where his box of matches is or something. Sometimes political leaders of a particular party are also advertised by newspaper propaganda. And by such a method of glorification, an insignificant man becomes an important man within no time. But such propaganda by false glorification of an unqualified person cannot bring about any good, either for the particular man or for the society. There may be some temporary reactions to such propaganda, but there are no permanent effects. Therefore, such activities are a waste of time. The actual object of glorification is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has created everything manifested before us. We have broadly discussed this fact from the beginning of the Janmadyasya, Srimad Bhagavatam 111, shloka of this Bhagavatam. The tendency to glorify others or hear others must be turned to the real object of glorification, the Supreme Being, and that will bring happiness. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.14 purport. So, you see, is that it's about the glorification of the Lord. Right here, glorify, meditate, you know, and then he mentions, and worship. This must be carried on, whatever the position, like that. So he's mentioning in the context of the Varnashram, that's already been mentioned before, right? The perfection of your duties is to please the Lord, worship the Lord. So then, you know, Srila Prabhupada further describes on this aspect as follows. Real satisfaction comes when you satisfy the Supreme Lord. And how should that be done? First, by fixing the mind on Him with one-pointed attention. Ekena manasa. You should not defer your attention to so many things. Huh? Defer? Divert? Yeah, okay. Divert your attention. Where did I get the fur? Oh, that's from up.
This first is very loaded.
Yeah, that's for up. Defer. But simply fix your mind on the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan. Previously, the Bhagavatam taught that the absolute truth is known as Brahman, the Lord's impersonal effulgence, Paramatma, the Supersoul, and Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. But when it comes to focusing one's attention on the absolute, one must focus on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Otherwise, how can we focus our attention? Right? The other attentions will be minor. They're going to be something, and it's going to be way better than anything material, but it's not actually going to bring about the real satisfaction of the soul, because it's not complete. If you focus on Brahman, then the sat aspect of the soul will be, you know, get some nourishment. If the super soul, then sat and chit, only Bhagavan, sat, chit, ananda. So it's not like, oh, it means that these three alternatives are all equal. No, they're all the absolute. But they're features of the absolute, so only Bhagavan includes all aspects. But when it comes to focusing one's attention on the absolute, one must focus on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Otherwise, how can we focus our attention? It's very difficult to fix the mind on the impersonal feature or the supersoul. The impersonal absolute truth can be understood by philosophical speculation and the supersoul by meditation, but both these processes are very difficult. Fixing the mind on Bhagavan, however, is easy and practical. Right? Because we're a person, we fix our mind on the Supreme Person. So that will give satisfaction. Anything else is not complete. Right? We can easily fix the mind on Krishna by seeing his form in the temple, reading his instructions in the Bhagavad Gita, hearing and chanting his holy names, and so many other ways. There is no difficulty. If you try to absorb your mind in the impersonal Brahman or the Supersoul, it is very difficult. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 12.5, Klesho dikaras, no, dikataras tesham avyakta shakta chetasam. For those who are attached to the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth, advancement is very troublesome. For devotees, on the other hand, there is the joyful process of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, dancing in ecstasy, and eating sumptuous Krishna Prasadam. Yeah, so chanting, dancing, taking Prasadam. I remember when someone, when Brahmacharya in the temple there, and you know, you're doing so much work running around, and for two nanoseconds you stop. The temple commander will go and tell you, inform you that you're in Maya and give you something else to do. So then, even if you were, let's say, doing something like, you know, reading Nectar Devotion, because the point of Nectar Devotion is to do service, so if you're not doing service, you're in Maya. So, at least that was how it worked at our temple. Yeah. So then someone mentioned that, you know, I think the president was talking about, you know, so the process of chanting, dancing, taking prasad. So I was thinking, And the other Brahmins, how is that? You know, we do so many other things, you know, because we took it that chanting was just when you chanted your japa, you know, or the kirtan. Dancing was only in the kirtan, you know, or the Hari Nam, and then, of course, the enjoy eating sumptuous prasada, but, you know, there were so many more times in the day when that could be accomplished, but it wasn't happening, right, you know, because you're so busy, you never have time to go and attend to that plate of leftover, you know, halava and pakoras and sweets in your locker, no? But, so, yeah. But then you see with time, no, that's actually what we're doing. Because we're trying to do this, we're doing this, but we want others to be able to also benefit from this. So therefore, then the organization is there so that all these arrangements can be made that others can also take part. Therefore, you have all the temple duties and all the different things that go along with it, all the management and all the, you know, the general activities and like this. Does that make sense? Is there more refined word for grunts? For the grunt work? No.
Refined?
I mean, something that you're saying about, you know, how everybody does the various...
Assisting,
okay. Assisting in these activities by, you know, direct, you know, application, by direct, you know, generally physical application. Or, does that make sense? I mean, I don't know if it's there in the American Army, the regular guys, just the privates, because they do all the hard work, they're called grunts, because everything they do, you know, like that. You know, you have that, must have that concept in here. Yeah. So, as one of the grunts, then we were thinking, you know, how is this? But then as you see the mission, then you see that's all we're doing. Because that's the primary thing, is these three. The secondary may be the various managements and organizations and, you know, putting this stuff in the bus so you can go to the program and all these different things like that. Setting up and cleaning and sweeping and picking up all the plates afterwards and throwing out the garbage. And these are all just so that people can chant, dance, and take prasad. So that's actually all we're doing. It's just if you see it like that, then you become inspired. You just think I'm picking up garbage all day, then you may or may not be inspired. You know, unless you go down to Venice Beach and then you'll think, yes, I'm doing something nice for the society and all that. But then as you're picking up that big pile of garbage and you find out that homeless person that's sitting next to it, that's his personal garbage. You know, he picked that, with great trouble, he picked that up all over gleaning and all that. So he's going to be upset. So then, you know, therefore that castle in the sky of doing something wonderful for the residents there, then it gets dashed because this guy actually values that garbage and he's going to leave it right there in that pile. Yes, so therefore, be happy picking up all the garbage for Krishna because then that is, you know, doing something nice for all the different... the people who come and take the shot. Yeah. Now one may ask, how should I fix my mind on Bhagavan? The Bhagavatam answers, Shrota Vyaha. You have to hear about him. From whom should I hear? The best person to hear from is Krishna himself, who kindly explains himself in the Bhagavad Gita. Suppose you want to know something about me. You could ask a friend. He may say something or other about me, but when I explain myself to you, that is perfect. Similarly, if you want to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the best way is to just hear directly from him. But if you reject this process and try to know God through speculation, you will fail because your senses and mind are imperfect. Then the next process the Bhagavatam recommends is chanting. Kirtitav yascha. If you simply hear about Krishna but do not repeat what you have heard to others, you will not advance very quickly in your understanding of God. Whatever you hear or read, you should explain to others. That is perfection. That is why we have established Back to Godhead magazine. Daily our students hear and read about Krishna. And then they must be thoughtful and write something about the science of Krishna consciousness. And naturally, when one writes or speaks of Krishna, one must think of him. Yeyaha. Finally, the Bhagavatam recommends worship of the Lord, Pujaha. Therefore, we require to regularly visit temples and worship the deities residing there. So the Bhagavatam says that with one-pointed attention, we should hear about the Lord, chant about him, think of him, and worship him.
So it seems again it's Manu
Yeah. It also says that Gita verse also. So it's saying the same thing, just slightly different wording that's very far ahead. So it's very consistent. There's no inconsistency.
Also the first four verses of devotion so.
Yes.
That way it's completing itself.
Yeah. And also if you look at it, because you could say it's okay, well, and what if you go in the line, then you have Padasevana. The Padasevana is part of worship. You look at the worship, then in the fifth Anga, then one of them is worshiping Vaishnavas and anything connected to the Lord. So actually in the 16 items of worship and the directive, worship, the 16th item is then worship of the Lord's paraphernalia and associates and the devotees. So it's an integral part, and then actually, naturally, if you're worshiping the Lord, you'll offer prayers. So just by doing those four, you actually include the others, because the mentality is going to be there, you're going to render service, you've got mood of friendship. If you distribute to others, you've heard, then you distribute to others, then that's that aspect of friendship. You're always trying to surrender. So it all comes from hearing and chanting. So it's interesting, with hearing and chanting, then you're going to remember and worship. And then with that, the others are naturally included. So it's a very, you don't have to think of them separately. Very, very comprehensive. Ekena means with mind devoid of enthusiasm for karma or other processes. So hearing and chanting means hearing and chanting the Lord's names and qualities. So these are going to be the activities that one performs. And so there's no enthusiasm for karma or jnana or yoga like that. They may be used as service, but there's no enthusiasm. It's just like, let's say, someone who's very expert at something, he will use the best, ingredients, best situation because of how they work for accomplishing what is needed to be done. And that's as much value as they have. But let's say you have an enthusiast, or somebody new, then the paraphernalia is so important. How good they are at using it, that's another thing. But they're very, very enthusiastic that they have. Like you go to the ski lodge, the guy that's got all the latest, most expensive stuff, he's the enthusiast. He's not the good skier. And even if he is a bit, his ego, that tree will always be waiting for him. Because his ego is so big, he can't see the trees. So therefore there's no other thought. It means if we're putting the emphasis on the karma and other processes, that means that the devotional hasn't become the most prominent for us. So it has some mix of devotional service. It means that we're using, that's not a mix. Like in Vairagya Vidya, then Prabhupada's explaining karma yoga as bhakti. It just means engaging all your activities in Krishna service. He's not explaining karma misra bhakti. It's just called bhakti. It's on karma yoga, but then within it, then he generally uses the word bhakti by engaging your activities. In the English translation, I think they put karma yoga, so that devotees understood that. But But the point is that, no, the pure devotional service means you're going to render service. That means body, mind, and words. They need paraphernalia. Right? That's the whole point of Satchitananda. Sat provides the paraphernalia. Chit is the action of using it. Ananda is that it's for Krishna's pleasure. Right? So that then that aspect becomes the thing. So this idea that it stands on its own, no, it means it has those actions. Riti. The glory of remembrance of the Lord is stated in the next Anucheda. By the process of constant remembrance of the Supreme Lord, persons with controlled minds and proper discrimination can cut the knots of karma and ahankara. Anucheda 10. A glorification of hearing is given to develop a taste for hearing of the Lord's topics. This is the first step. With indifference to the performance of karma and other processes, which are difficult, described in order to show the easy stage of bhakti up to the final stage, prema. Yes, so that aspect of then in the Mimamsa, then you have the the secondary the techniques where it's talking about what's glorified and what's repeated. These are important. Because otherwise, why repeat it? You know, it's not just poetics, you know, that in the Bhagavata, I mean the Gita, that you have that yo yo yum yum. It's not because of poetics. Yasudev thought, oh, it would be nice to do this, it would sound good, because he's trying to, you know, get your attention. Does that make sense? If I call someone yo, you know, then they, you know, they may catch it, but yo, yo, you know, then, you know, okay, someone's calling. You know, so. Yeah. Yes, definitely.
With the proper mudra, then you call yo yo.
Yeah. Also, so many different things. I mean, there's other areas also. It's like, you know, if you're into, I think it's cello, then also it's a very big thing. You know? Yeah, so then, you know, we get. But it's twice. Because if it's yo-yo ma, then you know that it's, you know, one particular cultural display. If it's just yo ma, then you know it's another one, right? Because then after that will come some insult.
One's yo-yo ma, and the other one is yo mama.
Yeah, yo mama, yo-yo ma, yo mama. But in any case, there is a double. You know, it's emphasized. Yeah, it's repeated. Yes. Okay.
Are you going to stick around for the rest of it?
He's still aware it goes.
Yeah, you said.
It's like, I shouldn't go anywhere good, so.
No, there will be different slangs explained.
He just knows now that he'll have to edit 15 minutes out of this. Yeah. Of course, is that. How come it's only a 2-minute class, right? You know, 48 minutes was edited out because of the battery die or something. Yeah. Okay.
Sankirtan devotees in yoga, they say, yo man, you look like a famous rap singer, man. That's how you stop people.
Really? And people stop for that?
Yeah. Of course.
Okay, that goes back to... Well, I mean, you have to think of people want to be, you know, appreciated, and, you know, it's personally about them, and, you know, some value and so on. You have that, so I guess.
Yeah, because as it said here, even if it's not true, if you put that false propaganda out there.
Yeah, it has an effect.
Oh,
people appreciate it.
Really nice. Oh, yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it, yeah.
Or other thing they say, you look very spiritual. What's your secret? You do some meditation.
Oh, that is so far off. That's impressive. Okay. Yad anu jasina yukta karma granti nibandhanam chindanti kovidas tasya kona kuryat kata ratim. Who will not develop attraction for topics of the Lord, remembrance of whom, like a sword, will cut the knots of karma. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.15. Rudriki Srila Prabhupada. The contact of the spiritual spark with material elements creates a knot that which must be cut if one wants to be liberated from the actions of reactions of fruitive work. Liberation means freedom from the cycle of reactionary work. Really? What was it? So that means you have to give up your association and endeavors within the SDS? Students for the Democratic Society, you know, or the Black Panthers, or you have to give all that up. Because it says you have to give up this reactionary work. Mm. Strange.
I guess it depends on what you want to be liberated from.
Yeah, that's true. This liberation automatically follows for one who constantly remembers the transcendental pastimes of the Personality of Godhead. This is because all the activities of the Supreme Lord, His Leela, are transcendental to the modes of material nature, material energy. They are all attractive spiritual activities, and therefore constant association with the spiritual activities of the Supreme Lord gradually spiritualizes the conditioned soul and ultimately severs the knot of material bondage. Liberation from material bondage is therefore a byproduct of devotional service. Attainment of spiritual knowledge is not sufficient to ensure liberation. Such knowledge must be overcoated with devotional service so that ultimately the devotional service alone predominates. Then liberation is made possible. Even the reactionary work of the fruit of workers can lead one to liberation when it is overcoated with devotional service. Karma overcoated with devotional service is called karma yoga. Similarly, empirical knowledge overcoated with devotional service is called jnana yoga. But pure bhakti yoga is independent of such karma and jnana because it alone can not only endow one with liberation from conditioned life, but also award one the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Right? So it's what is your intent of something is why what it's called by. Right? It's not called from something else. You know, let's say someone is, you know, running professionally, then he may be called by, you know, a particular sports person. You know, he works in these different competitions and stuff like that. Someone else is running, but it's just for exercise. So he'll be called by that. Someone else is running because he's late for the bus. He'll be called by that. You know what I'm saying? So it's not, the running is common in all of them. Right? But depending on the intent, they're given different titles. So in the same way, action, it's called karma when there's a fruit of desire, when there's a desire for the fruit of result. But when it's simply tools that you use in performing your service to get a result for Krishna, then it's called bhakti. So pure bhakti. So now if there's an interest in that karma, you know, by nature and that, but you're comfortable to use it for Krishna without any other motive, then it's called karma yoga. Does that make sense? Now, if it's an interest in the thing, and you're okay, you know, some results will be given to Krishna, then it'll be karma misra bhakti. And if it's just about yourself, it's called karma. Right? So for the pure devotee, it already includes anything from karma and jnana that's useful, because the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. There they use all action and all knowledge for Krishna. Right? Because action and knowledge go together, technically. right? Because that's the samvit shakti, is that with knowledge you perform action that generates a result, right? But what happens is generally people, it's the karma itself, the work, to get the fruit or result, or it's just the knowledge and they don't work. So it's not actually properly combined. So the jnanis don't work, the karmis don't think. You know, it's very minimal. It's not enough to put them together. You know, so then the devotee, but the original thing is those two go together. And what is it? It's knowledge of the field, knowledge of the work, knowledge of the results. That's then applied into here, but they're getting knowledge not of work and results. They'll look at the negative, how to get rid of it, that it's giving bad results, but they're not looking at what's the positive results. Right? I work in the material world, I get bound. So they think by not working I'll get unbound. You know, but that's not exactly how it works. You have to do something positive. So therefore, the proper thing would be, what work should I be doing and what mentality to maintain, to attain the platform of liberation? You know, that would be the actual intelligence. So they're somewhat intelligent that they see the weakness, but then from what I've seen is generally anybody who's a little thoughtful, you know, who's not just a muda, you know, who's a little thoughtful, then, you know, it's a common thing, at least amongst the middle class, you know, the so-called educated, that they, you know, talk about the rat race. You know, it's just, they all know it's a rat race. They all know it's not really that good, but at the same time as after talking this, then they'll pull out some, you know, a little quip from some, you know, French existentialist and all that, and, you know, just, you know, what to do, you know. That's life, or c'est la vie, you know. It's just something, and then you just go on. Okay, yeah, you know, you're happy again. Even though you just saw how much it is, and you and your friends laugh about how bad it is, you know, and how, you know, I got stuck in that jam, you know, the last time in the, you know, in the L.A., traffic jam. I mean, it's literally 1.5 hours. You can sit there, not moving. You know, anywhere else in the world, traffic jam generally means you're moving just really slow. You know, I think occasionally the M25, they also stop. But otherwise, mostly you're moving, but you're only, you know, you could walk that fast, but you're moving. But LA, it can be just stopped. You're just dead stop. They made a movie about that once. Some guy got stopped on the thing. He freaked out. And then he got out of his car and walked out and started doing all these crazy things, you know, like that. And finally someone put it back together and saw the line, and that helped. There's his car. There's no guy in it. Then it went to here and here, and they saw the thing. So they knew where he was going, you know. So then, you know, they went and caught him.
It was appropriately called falling down.
Falling down. Yeah. Exactly. So here's the guy. Yeah. So it's how do you say? So you know what the things are, and therefore you use them in this positive, this natural positive thing. You're not trying to get rid of. So the bringing up the aspect of detachment in that is just so that we're not attached to negative action, but we're, you know, that binds us. But so we're trying to become detached from negative action, but we engage in positive action. But it's not the action itself that we're attached to, it's Krishna. Right? So for us, we don't have that specifically, that spontaneous attachment for Krishna. Therefore, with intelligence, we see what activities we can do. Right? Because the body's not us. And so therefore what the body is able to do, what the mind is able to do, then that's intelligence, then we take that and apply that. But on the spontaneous platform, as one develops, then we see as you have a natural attraction to Krishna, and that then takes on a specific characteristic, a specific attraction. So then that means everything is seen in the context of that attraction. So like Mother Jashoda, she has that rati, or attraction for Krishna, in parental rasa, right? So she has the parental rati. So therefore she's going to engage in activities to please Krishna from that parental platform, right? So she'll view Krishna as the child, and then his activities will spontaneously create that, you know, from the Udipan will create the anubhavas of wanting to do something in parental, express that rati to please Krishna. Then that, with the various activities, then naturally it comes up as because you've done something like this, it creates all these other features of anubhava. So there's the sattvika bhavas, the vyavichari bhavas, and these come up. And so then that's rasa. So it's because of the rati that the rasa is experienced. Right? So that rati then becomes the sthayi bhava, it's the fixed bhava. So then when you come in contact with Krishna as the Vishaya, then that invokes within the heart feelings of attraction and attachment that generate the anubhava. And then aside from that comes the sattvika and vyabhichari. So that's rasa. So that's how it'll work. So they have that. So we don't have that spontaneous attraction. So she, because of that rati, therefore she has that particular form and is in that situation to interact with Krishna, because Yogamaya arranges that. So us, we have by just going around and around, I say around and around and around, she goes, where it stops, nobody knows. So with the carousel, we bump into the devotees, and wherever we are on that carousel, that's where we engage in Krishna service. And Yogamaya arranges that you can engage your nature in Krishna service. You know, so then it works very nicely. Hmm? Yeah. Are we on therefore any sensible man?
Yes.
Okay. Therefore any sensible man who is above the average man with a poor fund of knowledge and must constantly remember the personality of Godhead by hearing about him. See, it says sensible man. Like that. It just means when you understand that we're actually the soul and that there's something more to life and that, and there's the absolute is a person, not sensible person. So the average person who has a poor fund of knowledge, that same person by contact associated with devotees could become a sensible man. You know, so being sensible is open to everybody. Okay, constantly remember the person by hearing about him, by glorifying him, by remembering him and worshipping him always without cessation. That is the perfect way of devotional service. The Goswamis of Vrindavan, who were authorized by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to preach the bhakti cult, rigidly followed this rule and made immense literatures of transcendental science for our benefit. They have chalked out ways for all classes of men in terms of the different castes and orders of life in pursuance of the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam and similar other authoritative scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.15 purport. Interesting, because they've chalked out ways that we in our conditioned state can serve the Lord. But it says here, according to the different castes and orders of life. So that means if you don't use the Varnashram, you know, in its Daiva Varnashram form, then how do you apply all the teachings of the Goswamis? You could say, well, we're devotees, but devotees do these things. I mean, Mother Jashoda is a Vaishya. Madhu Mangal is a Brahmin. You know, Vasudeva and that are Kshatriyas. Right? So they apply according to their position. But there it's direct and transcendental. Here it's indirect, but once you're connected to Krishna, you get the same benefit. You know, it's just like iron and fire. Once you put iron in fire, it becomes hot. It acts like fire. So there is no different. Okay, it's Kartik. Those are coquilles. Cuckoos.
I didn't know
that. Yeah, that's probably why they call them cuckoo also. They just go, during this season, they go nuts. But there's so many of them. You can see what's about to start. Does that do? He hasn't, it's warming up. It's warming up. Yeah.
You gain confidence.
Yeah. Then they'll go like this, and they'll start now, and they'll go through, but then sometime, I think it's maybe after the festival, by that time they've been doing this so much, their voice is hoarse. So you can hear it. It's actually hoarse. But they're still making the sounds, but it's very funny. And then after that, I think once it, then they stop, so that I think their voice gets back together, and so now they're starting up again, you know, with confidence.
I like how Srila Prabhupada words this. So after he lists the things that we are meant to do, he says, always without cessation. Like how it's like a repetition there, because always, you know, means always.
But, yes.
You know, he wanted to make that point. Like, just in case you missed that the first time, without cessation. So you always do it, and you also do not stop.
Yeah, well, it's from both, yes. Yeah. You always do it, and you don't stop. Yes, so that's the...
That's my
always. Yes, yes, exactly. Always remember, never forget. So it's that's why. Because always remember means you're engaged in Krishna consciousness. Don't forget means that all the things that you're doing, don't get distracted by them. Because the cessation will happen if you get distracted, but in this case, because they're talking about karma, by karma. Right? So you always remember, but you're going to be remembering the context of your service. But don't get distracted and forget Krishna because of that. So it's so nice. It would have been so far out. Is that they've chalked out ways for all classes of men in terms of different castes. It also mentions the Paramahamsas. You know, it means of Narad Muni's discussion with Yudhishthira Maharaj on Varnashram in the seventh canto. There's five chapters. Right? But it's not seen in that way. Because it's about how Varnashram will be used in Krishna's service. So we'll take the first two as Varnashram. The third a little bit, but the fourth and fifth not, because it's talking about the Paramahamsa, talking about the devotees, how they're always engaged. But this is the whole point, is that this is the position that you situate yourself, then you engage that fully in Krishna's service, and ideally from the platform where it's just for Krishna, so you're a Paramahamsa, even though one may be in any of the Varnas or Ashrams. So it's a very, very, you know, complete. So you see Yudhishthira Maharaj is doing that. They're kings, they do all the duties of kings, but the main thing is they're devotees. You know, yes.
In the temple of Chandra, there was this moment where there were Narad Muni, Uddhava, and Gopakumar.
Narad Muni?
Uddhava.
Uddhava, okay. And Gopakumar, all together.
Yes, three of them.
Where were they?
They were in Dwarka, actually.
Oh, in Dwarka.
There was a particular topic, very confidential, that Narad Muni said that I cannot speak about this because I'm not qualified, something like this. Because, no, Uddhava, there was a question, Uddhava referred to Narada Muni because he's a Brahmana, something like this.
Okay.
And then another one talking, Uddhava told Narada, he said, you are in Varaka and you're still thinking in terms of Varna and Ashram. And then Narada said, he laughed and he said, yeah, that's true. But our Lord also does the same. I guess I'm okay.
He's doing it because he's doing it. So he's doing it because of the fun. Krishna says, you know, we're Shakti. So, yeah, we're good. That's fun. Yeah, so it's there because it's part of the you know, what do you. It's not repertoire, but. It's just part of the manifestation.
The interaction.
It's just basis of how ways you can interact. It's just like, let's say you have these old, you know, previously these old traditional big houses, you know, aristocratic houses, and people would live that lifestyle, you know, so different times of the day they'd use different rooms, you'd be dressed differently, different things would happen in them. You know, so they'll be sitting in one room before the meal, then they'll go to another room for the meal, then after that the men will go to, you know, the den, you know, like that. Yeah, and then the ladies will retire to another place. And and so then all these things will go on because it's not about the room. It's about that activity, and that room just happens to match what it's set up just for that activity. You know? And so then that's the whole idea, is that the Varnashram and these things just set up, they create scenarios in which then certain activities can be done and tasted. So that's why, you know, it's just like, you know, just there's a place for that, you know, so you go out and it's a battle, so then they can taste that chivalry and stuff like that. Even though they're Kshatriyas, but they're not tasting that, let's say, necessarily in other activities they're doing. Though sometimes you see it when they're talking about going in the battlefield, when Arjuna then kidnapped Subhadra. Then they go to the assembly hall and they're, you know, shouting, yeah, bring me my armor, arrange my chariot, this and that, and they're making a whole kerfuffle going on. And then, and Balaram's doing the same thing, you know, how can they assault? And then Krishna's sitting there very peacefully smiling. You know, it's not like he's contemplating and he's worried about it, so it matches the mood. No, he's just as if nothing's wrong. And then Balaram sees that, and immediately he then, you know, announces to everybody, you know, all you fools, you're going on and doing all this, but Krishna's just sitting here, you know, why? You know, so what's, so they all turn to Krishna. So then Krishna explains this and that, and, you know, he's making good points, valid points. But at the same time, when it comes to that, you know, of course, so there, you know, he's a Kshatriya, so he's not going to beg. So he's not going to come and ask for Subhadra. Okay, yeah. You know, and, you know, he's a, you know, he's got spirit and all, so therefore he'll kidnap. You know? And so he's made the point, and it's right, but at the same time, it's no, but, you know, he insulted us, and they start off again. And then Krishna's peaceful again, and so then they stop again. And then he explains and says, and anyway, he's on my chariot with my horses, and he says, no way any of you are going to catch him. So, therefore, it's done. It's, you know, it's done and dusted. It's finished, you know. So, therefore, you know, so that means it's not possible to do. The one is, why did it happen? Then it happened because of this. Okay. But now, what are we going to do about it? You can do nothing about it. So then, okay. And so then that's bad, but he says, but he's our relative, he's part of the family, he's Kunti's son. So even though he says an insult, he's actually one of us. You know, he just may be, you know, from a different city, but he's still one of us. And so therefore, you know, and also then by this marriage and then Hastinapur and then Dwarka, there'll be a stronger alliance and this. And then they're like, okay, you know, so now, what should we do? So now you should send someone to go invite him back and we'll have the marriage. You know? So therefore this taste could be there, but at the same time there's also things of reasoning and what to do. So many tastes are going on in this one activity. You know? So from, you know, completely being insulted to yes, I mean, you know, I mean, within the Grihastha, how you say, society, that having arranged a good marriage that everybody will think is good is a great moment within the society because it can bring everybody together. You know, it's one of those ones where no one wanted them to get married, but somehow it happened to anybody. No one wants to take part anyway. They'll reluctantly maybe who has to, but here is something, you know, I mean, Subhadra, who doesn't on Arjuna, you know, so then this is something great. And so now it can bring from the whole community brought together because of, you know, the they feel they're insulted to the whole community being brought together over this wonderful marriage. You know, all happened within these few moments with Krishna explaining everything. And all these different rasas and tastes are going on. You know, so it's all like, what would you call them? Sanchari Babas. You know, each one coming in and kicking out the other and moving and so quickly. You know, so all these nice things can happen because they're Kshatriyas. And they have an assembly hall, right? This didn't happen down at the pub or, you know, out while they were playing golf, you know? You know, I mean, what are you going to, you know, they're on the golf course and then this comes up, bring me my 9-iron, hey, get me the golf cart, you know, where am I, what do they call those, the shoes with the spikes in them? Cleats, huh? Yeah. Spikes or cleats. Yeah, bring me my cleats, you know, I mean, is that going to bring out the taste? No. Because they're Kshatriyas, they're in the hall, and they're doing these things. Therefore, you can do these. You know? So there's a place for it. Because they were wherever they were, and then this came up. They were in, what do you call it? They were on Raivata Mountain. I think, you know, it's a park there. It's on the mainland. So they went from the mainland. What are you going to do there? It's a park. You're supposed to enjoy yourself there. They got on the boats, went back to Dwarka, went to the assembly hall, then started this ruckus. Mm-hmm. You know, because in the assembly hall, now you can get a taste out of the ruckus. Otherwise, they make a ruckus at the picnic, you know, then everyone's going to be grumpy, especially the ladies. Hmm? Yeah, they're going to be upset and all that. Because they're thinking, oh, how romantic, and all the guys, rah, this is like, what's wrong with you guys, you know? You know, they're thinking, you didn't kidnap me like that, you know, like that is, you know, you don't care. So, you know, it would be bad. Don't bring this up there. Go to the assembly hall. It's just the men there. They can be all croaky as they like. And, you know, and it works out. And then after that, then they go back and the arrangements are there and the city starts arranging for the marriage. Now everybody can be involved. And so they get all the tastes. So that's the thing, is that all these things of Varanasi are just for the tastes. So what we use, and it's just ways to engage yourself in Krishna service, right? One's young, so engages in the activity of being a student. One gets older, then one graduates, then one gets married. Then after that, then, you know, one retires like this. So it's just, there's all these different situations and different flavors. When you're young, all this is going on in society, you couldn't care less. You know, you go to the wedding for the food. You know, guests are coming over, it's the food, you know, like that, you know, so it's kind of like, you know, that's all that's important.
Yeah, I remember children, they eat and then they
leave. Yeah, they immediately leave. They all come running in like a swarm of bees, and then, you know, whatever it is they're into, eat and then disappear again.
Nobody expects them to be there.
No, in fact, you're waiting for them to go. I mean, it's fun while they're there, but it's when they go, then you can start the proper adult conversation. You know, so there's taste. That's the whole thing. It's personal, there's taste. We're used to these things that all being bad taste because they bind you. But the thing is no, these are there. So it's not necessarily that we ourselves get too involved in it. That's why we see a full manifestation of the details of Varnashram in the transcendental Leela. But for us, but it's type of Varnashram because it's just for Krishna. But because it's so pure, it can handle all these details of Varnashram and no one will forget. But for us as sadhakas, we don't get into the full Varnashram thing. We just only deal with an Advaita Varnashram. So basically, devotees have it, they're just not organizing it scientifically, that's all. But it's like whatever needs to be, it's already there, it's not more. Sometimes people talk about it, but they're actually just talking about more of the details of the Asura Varnashram. So that's what happens, is one group is throw the whole thing out because you were all the same. Like that, you know, we should all wear unitards and, you know, Haribal. And then the other side is, you know, no, unless it's, you know, like the Surat Varnashram, it's not Varnashram. But I guarantee they're not talking about, I mean, it's like, when they go into there's like three full chapters on the details of the responsibility of Grihastha. So when people talk about an ashram, you know, they're hardcore, they're not talking that. You know, they think they're talking that, but they're not. So then they'll say, no, we're not fanatic, you know, so there'll always be that thing to bring it back. But it's just a matter of how much Prabhupada gave, how much he talks about. It's all more the moods and all that. Otherwise you live a simple life, you're situated and you do what you can. What comes easily you do. A lot comes, you use that for Krishna. A little comes, you satisfy, you use that for Krishna. Because, you know? People ask, how much? Is how much comes easy? You put in your 8 hours, how much comes? You know, use your intelligence, put in, you know, solidly your 8 hours, and then what do you get from that? Be happy. You know? And some people get enough in 6 hours or 4 hours or whatever it is they do. Like that, the problem is, right, don't go above eight, because then you're wasting your time.
So is the proper way to experience all these rasas, all these taste flavors, so that you can peacefully understand that there's nothing actually human material that tastes at all? And
yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah, because it tasted it, but it has its, and you see, it's always what it says in relationship. Nectar of devotion is talking about who's doing what. That famous Brahmin, I think, in not in Daipur. You know, it's in Madhya Pradesh. capital. No, he was in South India, that one.
Yeah.
He was in South. That was someone else's from. That's the Avantipur Brahma. Avanti is also known Ujjain. It's the same. I think it's the same. I think it's the same place. Here's this guy, he's, you know, ridiculous, what do you call it, gross materialist, you know, this Avantipur Brahman. But he's a Brahmin. He's so attached. Nobody likes him. Nobody. And then at one point he realizes and takes sannyasa and leaves, and then he doesn't care. You know, like that. And the other, that Brahmin in South, or, you know, rather shows that they're Vaishya. They're doing Vaishya activities. She's churning milk, you know. You know, in the butter and doing all these different things. So that's what they're doing. That's their thing. So within that, then they're engaging that Krishna service. So every example is someone within the Varnashram system using their position in Krishna service. Some, it happens to be a spiritual form, you know, developed from Rati, and others, it's our material form developed from our material attachment. But the point is it's engaged, it's through that. So it's natural. Positions, and that's how you tell who does what. Otherwise, you throw it out. How do you know who does what? And then you just have a mess. Literally.
Unpredictable.
You don't know.
It's very bad for the health also, because you're always in stress.
Always in stress, nothing works smoothly, people don't, so all the time spent in meetings and arguings and whatever it is, memos going back and forth and all that could be used for something more valuable, you know? So it's a waste of time, you know? Those who value it, but tends to be a little external, and those who don't value it because they don't understand it at all. Those who say, oh, we're devotees, we don't accept, guaranteed that you could probably say at least 99% they don't understand what Varnashram is and what it's for. At the same time, as they'll do things, you know, the same person, oh, we're going into Varnashram and, you know, GBC doesn't accept it and all that, but they have, Prabhu, why are you dressed like this? You're a brahmachari. You know, you're supposed to, but you just said you're not into Varnashram, we're devotees, we don't care for these things. So, you know, if I wear, you know, purple, you know, what is it? Pink with purple polka dots? Is that how it goes? Is that the classic one?
I think so.
Yeah, you know, like that, then why do you care? You know? So you get these things is where it works for your political position, I accept Varnashram. Where it doesn't work for my political or economic position, then I don't. So that's whimsical. That's self-centered. The duties is that you're in this position, you perform that. Now, how to do that in connection with Krishna? And then ultimately, it's about engaging in Krishna service. These are the facilities I have, so you use them. It reverses at one point. So Daiva Varnashram actually means it's descending. I'm engaged in pure devotional service. I engage the facilities that I have in Krishna service. That's Daiva Varnashram. The inductive is then, you know, it would be, I am this, and now I connect it to Krishna. So in other words, one sannyasa, one's renunciation. But they both regulate and they both are uplifting. So if it's ultimately for Krishna, it will purify till it will come to that natural spontaneous position. So what Prabhupada gave us was how to practice spontaneous devotional service in the context of Daiva Varnashram. So very elevated, but it's like, and it's always just ordinary, you know, it's not understanding, the society's different, you can't do all these things, it's kind of like, who said you can't do it? There's billions of people who are following. Billions. I mean, literally billions. You know? I would say majority of the planet actually follows more Varnashram than we want to, than the modern liberal person wants to admit. I guarantee you, more does. Like that.
They have this modern idea that, there is no such thing as, everything is social construct, all these things, even the gender, even the...
So it's a social construct that I can't hit you up the side of the head with an aluminum baseball bat? wow, that's so great. Let me go get my bat. I'll be back. Don't go away. I'll be back in 10 minutes. I mean, all this time, you haven't enjoyed being hit up the side of the head with a baseball bat. You know, and it's a really good aluminum one. You know, it's not one of these ones that will
nice sound.
Yeah, it makes a nice boom sound. Even the bat just makes a clunk. It's more your head is making the sound with a wooden one, but the other one, your head makes a sound, and that makes a sound. You get the double benefit. So, wow.
If you work it out right, they'll be in harmony, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, where you hit, like more towards the end or more towards the middle.
Yeah.
Wow. You can practice that. I guess get a dummy and hit it until you get the resonance to match. And yeah. So then that could be, you could have a special belt with a little clip on it that you could hang your bat on.
Mm-hmm. You probably have a few different ones, depending on which key you want to...
Okay, yeah, you could do that also.
Probably make a whole skirt of bats.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Kali basically does that, so it is a Vedic thing. Yeah. Okay.
Your head looks like a... E flat. Well, it's about the B flat.
E flat, but it's about the B flat. So should I use the B flat one instead? But when you know with a you know, or should I use the E flat? But then from B flat, E flat, it goes to B flat. You know, it's like I'm moving. You know, the moving.
So many choices.
Yeah, it's just like it gets confusing after a while. You know? Okay. Yes, so that's here. It's so far as that, even though this whole discussion is about how karma doesn't actually have any value, it's only bhakti, but everything's being seen in the context of how you're going to be engaged in pure bhakti by taking your position in karma and engaging with the Lord. And the Goswamis have written their literature following Lord Chaitanya's direction so that you, in your position, can engage yourself. Like that. This is the first time I remember seeing this point or noticed it. You know, it's like so much you read, but then it like at one point it kind of goes, oh. Yeah. By the sword of remembrance of the Lord, persons with discrimination, kovidaha, with controlled minds, cut the knot of karma and ahankara, which binds one to various bodies. Who would not develop attraction for topics of this Lord, which deliver one from the greatest suffering? Right? So why wouldn't you? Just by remembering topics of Him, then, you know, you control the mind so it's not going off here and there. So your mind is controlled. So that means you have to be following a system to control it. I mean, either you're so attracted to the Lord that it's controlled, or you follow a system of sadhana that will help control the mind. You know, with the intent of focusing on the Lord, not just controlled mind, but you want to focus on the Lord. Then that remembrance is the sword. It will cut the knot of karma and ahankara, right? Because karma is the action, but ahankara is that you identify with it. So we think it's giving up the action, but keeping the ahankara. Right? No. We're sitting talking in meetings about how we have to be more professional, like the karmis are so professional and this and that professional. That's the ahankar. But you've given up the karma. You sit in the room and just have meetings all day. Where's the karma? You know, but we're supposed to be professional. How many professionals sit in meetings all day? Have you heard of doctors sitting in meetings all day? Or lawyers sitting in meetings all day? You know, or these big techies sitting in meetings all day? No, they have very short, exact meetings. So what professional sits in a meeting all day?
Unsuccessful ones.
Huh? Unsuccessful ones, yeah. The only professional that sits in a meeting all day and he's actually fully engaged is the secretary who takes notes.
Yeah.
You know? So in other words, like that.
When I was in meetings, it was very difficult because I could see how all this can be done for 10, 15 minutes. And this drug is dragging on and dragging on for hours.
That's what it means. They're trying to do for Krishna, and this is what they see as good, and that way they're engaged. They're not doing something else. It is technically about Krishna. But just the method is so... That would be like, you know, trying to cook lunch for, you know, for the whole temple on a candle. Why would you do it? Yeah, it means eventually it'll get there, but, you know, by time, because also we saw in logic, time is an important thing. The time, by the time you finish cooking lunch on that, it'll be, you know, 2 days. Everyone will have died of starvation or gone out to Domino's or something, you know? So it's just, you know, I can just see is that, you know, there's the, you know, bedraggled, you know, I say half-dead brahmachari, you know, and he, you know, there's the bell rings at the door at the temple, and, you know, and he comes to the door, and outside is the pizza delivery guy with, you know, 20 pizzas, you know, stacked up like that, you know, like that. And so the pizza guy looks at the brahmachari and goes, "Meetings again, huh?" He says, "Yeah." And then takes the pizzas and, you know, like that, and, you know. Well, yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Jai.